Awesome. One of the singers left me an Easter gift, so I'll give that back to them. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to North Mead Anglican. Welcome to Easter morning. What a great day to be together. What a great reason to gather. I'm going to get us to start by reaching back into the Anglican archives, into part of our history. We haven't been able to do a lot of things communally together as a community over the last year, but now we have been able to gather in this way. So I thought we'd do something a little different. Now, if you've never been to an Anglican church or you're not used to this, what's going to happen is this. My name's Josh, by the way. I'm one of the ministers here. What we're going to do is this. I'm going to say, Christ is risen. You're going to respond with gusto and boldness. He is risen indeed. And so let's remind each other what we celebrate today. Christ has risen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your awesome word, for the truth, the life, and the light that it brings into our lives. We pray now that as we come to look at it, we might understand what you have to say about your gift to us in your Son. Please help us to have humble hearts, to be transformed and changed by what you have to say. May not this just rest on deaf ears, but may we be conformed to the likeness of your Son and love him all the more as a result. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me ask you, everybody, what is the best gift you have ever received? I actually think the answer will change the older you get. So the best gift I ever received when I was a teenager was this. It was PS1. Some kids probably have no idea what that is, but it was an amazing device. You play video games on it. When I was in my 20s, my parents gave me one of these. It was an iPod Nano. And the Christmas morning, I got this. Boy, I was overwhelmed with joy. I was so excited. But I knew I was getting on in life when this last Christmas that just came, it wasn't a gaming console. It wasn't a cutting-edge piece of technology that I received from my family. It was one of these. And I tell you what, I was filled with joy. I almost cried. It was exactly what I needed. It was thoughtful, it was generous. That thing not only blows, but it also sucks up the leaves. I use it all the time. It's a great gift. But it's the right gift at the right time. You see, if you had given me a garden blower when I was in my 20s, I wouldn't have responded with the level of joy that I did when I received it as a dad. See, we often, what makes a gift so great, it is the right thing at the right time. And getting the wrong gift at the wrong time can be devastating as well. Like this last Christmas, my wife, I gave her a gift that I thought she would thoroughly enjoy. Bit of a backstory. I had some young, cool people in my 6 p.m. gospel team who started wearing these shoes, and if I offend you, I don't really care. They started wearing these shoes called Birkenstocks. Basically, there's Crocs and then them, in my opinion. I think they are the ugliest shoes I've ever seen. But these cool young people started wearing them, and I started kind of, I guess, mocking them for it. I was like, I don't understand. I thought you were cool. What is with these shoes? And my wife, because she's lovely and kind and unlike me, said, stop bugging them. They look great on them. They're fantastic. And this went on for about a year. And so I eventually got convinced that she liked them. This last Christmas we spent with my kids during the kind of that mini lockdown that we had where you had to wear masks again, 2.5 hours finding the right shoe at the right time. Christmas morning comes, the camera is out, the kids are excited to give this gift. She opens them up, she looks at them, and she goes, I think they're ugly too. The right gift at the right time really matters. And I'm going to tell you, it can be really stressful buying me a gift, particularly if you're married to me. And the reason it's so stressful buying me a gift is because gifts are how I love to receive and give affection. There is this book, it's going to come up on the screen. There's these 5 love languages that describe the way people love to give and receive gifts. There's words of affirmation, there's physical touch, there's acts of service, there's quality time, and there's gifts. Now, the book says actually most people love to receive and give affection a few different ways. Not me. I'm all about the gifts. It's my materialism coming through. So if you want to say that you value my friendship, that what I do matters, don't tell me, just give me a Mars bar. No, I'm serious. Now, Matt Borg, the youth minister here, said actually a 6th love language needs to be added, and that's actually listening to my rants. Me giving them and you willing to receive and sit there and patiently nod and agree with everything I'm saying. So buying a gift can be a really stressful thing. And I often think we relate this idea of receiving gifts with Christmas, don't we? Christmas is the time when you spend too much money, when we stress about getting the right thing for the right person at the right time. But I want you to see, this Easter Sunday is the greatest gift God has ever given us. The most precious thing we could ever receive, the most spectacular piece of generosity bestowed on our world, is not the baby born in a manger, but is the Christ who rose from the dead. The King who conquered the grave. The Savior who took up the cross and smashed sin once and for all time. Because it's the exact gift that every single person on this planet needs. It's the right gift at the right time given to a world that so desperately needs it. This is actually what Easter is all about. And I really want you to get that Easter is the gift that God has given us. And you see this in Ephesians chapter 2, this gift that God has given in verse 8. It says, "For you are saved by grace through faith." And this is not from ourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. And we're actually going to spend some time today unpacking what these verses mean for us. But the first thing I want you to notice, what the writer Paul here says, it's all about a gift. This passage tells us is that God, who made everything, including us, has given us a gift. Now, what's this gift? Well, I'm sure that many of you know it's Jesus. For God loved the world in this way that he gave his one and only Son. But I wonder if you've ever been a gift. It looks really good. You know it's meant to be impressive, but you're not sure what it's for, so you fake it. Oh, thank you. This is amazing. I have no idea what this is for. And then they kind of explain it. You're like, that's what it is. I think the world does this with God's gift. You see, we celebrate Jesus at Christmas, don't we? We sing songs about him. We enjoy time off work, time together with our family. We like it. Thanks, this is great. It's awesome. But we really don't get why we actually need Jesus in our lives. Why we need this gift, or why this gift is so very good. And this is what I want us to understand today. What makes God's gift to us so very good? What makes Jesus so very good? Well, again, look at verse 8. "For you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift." What makes Jesus such a good gift is he is the Savior. Jesus comes to save us. When the angel appeared to Joseph and announced that Jesus was on his way, this is what he said in Matthew 1:21. "You are to name him Jesus." Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. What makes this gift of Jesus so great? It is the gift of a Savior. Someone has come to rescue you. And what exactly do we need rescuing from? Well, the first verses of Ephesians 2 tell us this. Why we so all desperately need Christ in our lives. Verse 1. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now at work in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as others were also." I mean, the Bible is just so clear about this. Every single person has lived in a way which means we have sinned. You can describe yourself as a sinner. We have followed the ways of the world rather than the ways of God. We have followed the ways of Satan rather than the ways of God. We have followed the cravings and the passions and the desires of our hearts that are evil rather than following God. In fact, Jesus himself says this of the human heart in Mark chapter 7, verse 20 to 23. "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. From within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immoralities, thefts, murders, adulteries, greed, evil actions, deceit, selfish indulgence, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a person. And if you cannot find yourself up on that list, then you are not looking hard enough or you lack self-awareness. We know we're not perfect. We know we have not done everything right in our lives. In fact, it is one of the most common things people say to me. Nobody is perfect. And this passage says there is a consequence to a life lived out of step with God. There is a reality that we face because we all choose to live a life that doesn't give God his rightful place. Verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin. You see, rejecting God leads to death. And it makes complete sense, doesn't it? The Bible says God is the source of all life. The Apostle Paul, who wrote this passage in the book of Acts, says this, God himself gives everyone life and breath. And so if you cut yourselves off from the source of life, well, of course the new reality will be we die. It's a bit like your laptop, isn't it? Once you unplug your laptop, the power source, it starts to run low. And unless you plug your battery back in, a few hours later, unless you reconnect, that computer will die on you. And it becomes nothing more than an expensive paperweight. See, we might be breathing, walking, or talking, but as far as God is concerned, we are dead. Dead in our sins. It's a spiritual death, and it means we are far away from God. And the terrible thing about this spiritual death is that when you die, and you will, all that is left is your spirit. And what will continue is this spiritual death forever. But even worse than this, we face God's judgment. We were by nature children under wrath, as others were also. We are all going to face God's wrath, his anger, his judgment. Now, why am I telling you all of this? We started with all the laughs. We started with the fact that Jesus is alive. This is Easter. This is the day we remember he rose from the dead. He conquered the grave. The tomb was empty. Why am I telling you this? Because if you don't understand this, you won't get why the gift of Jesus is so good. Until you know how much you need it, you won't get why he's so great. You see, if someone is diagnosed with a terminal illness, what is the best gift you could give them? It's a cure, isn't it? If someone is facing death row, what is the best gift you can give that prisoner? It's a pardon, isn't it? The reason the gift of Jesus is the best gift we could ever be given is because of the situation we all face. And this is it. Because of sin, we all face death and judgment. And so what is this gift? But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our trespasses. You are saved by grace. Why is this gift of Jesus the best thing we could ever receive from God? Because it's the gift of life to a dead person. Jesus has come that we might have life. Now, how does this work? Well, it's because of our sin that we are facing death. It's because we've rejected God that we're going to die. So what we need is to have life. What we need is someone to deal with our sin, to get rid of that sin so we can have life with God. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus says this of himself. Even the Son of Man, that's Jesus' favorite title for himself in the Gospel of Mark, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus has come to give his life for ours. See, what does he deserve? He deserves from the life that he lived the complete acceptance and love from God. And we deserve death and judgment from God. And Jesus swaps it with us. It's exactly why he came. And his death on the cross makes this exchange possible. You see, Jesus is the gift of life to those who deserve death. And so this is God's gift of life to us. And if this is something you want, then we need to know how we actually get this gift, isn't it? We need to know how we receive this gift. And I actually think this is something that basically most people I meet get wrong. And it's not because I'm smarter than them or they're dumb and I'm intelligent. It's just because I think most people don't understand how we receive this gift of forgiveness because they don't understand the Bible. And they don't know what the Bible says. Most people are wrong about how we receive this gift. You see, a lot of people think you get this gift by what you do. If I'm a good person or I do everything right, then God will give me this gift of Jesus. Let me go to heaven. Then my sins will be taken away. See, the problem of thinking about God this way is he kind of becomes like that relative or that person in your life who just never approves of anything you do. I mean, who here has seen the show from the noughties, Everybody Loves Raymond? It's going to come up on the screen. I love this show. I loved it. Basically sums up my family. No, not at all. Because of what I'm about to say next. So, Mum, if you're watching, it's not true of you at all. Ray's mum, there on the left, is named Marie. So she's kind of hugging him awkwardly from behind. And in the show, Marie definitely loves her family. But no matter what people do, she can just not be pleased. You can never win this woman's approval. It doesn't matter how hard people try, there's always something wrong with what they do. And when we start to think of God like this, I think we see God like a cosmic Marie in the sky. We're always trying to please him. We're always trying to make him happy. But no matter how hard we try, it's just never enough. And so we think, man, I've got to pray. I've got to make sure I go to church. I've got to give to the poor. I've got to be nice to my neighbors. I've never got to speed. And if we want to receive this gift from God, that's how I get it. But have I prayed enough? Have I gone to church enough? Have I given enough money to the poor? Have I been nice enough to my neighbors? And so we start to think whether or not we can ever get God's acceptance. And even when we do these things, we might think, well, am I really sincere? Do I really care about this stuff all? Or am I just going through the motions? Did I just go to church to tick that box? Or did I go to engage with God's word? Did I give to the poor because I genuinely care? Because I just want to look good. And the more we dwell on these things, it seems like we can't please God. Is that how you see God? We often think the way we get this gift is by impressing God through what we do. And it never seems to be enough. But look at the Bible. Look at what Paul says. Verse 8, "For you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from ourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast." And the word that's so important there is grace. Now, grace is one of those words we hear all the time. We think it's the thing we just say before a meal. But grace describes generous from God, where he gives us something we just don't deserve. That's why it's called a gift. Because we don't earn a gift. I mean, who here from the kids who are sitting amongst us received an Easter egg this morning? Any kids? Anyone? Did you? I did. It was great. I love chocolate. Imagine if your mum and dad gave you some chocolate this morning and straight away you pulled out your wallet and said, yeah, but how much do I owe you for this? 20, 30? You've missed the point, haven't you? Jesus coming to die from us is a gift from God. You don't do anything to deserve it. You just accept it. Why? Because he loves you. I mean, we so often get this idea of gifts wrong, don't we? Like, how bad do you feel when someone buys you a birthday gift and you didn't get them anything for them? And so you think to yourself, I feel obligated to get them something next year. We think gifts is about paying people back, but a true gift is something that is completely freely given with no strings attached. And that's exactly what God gives us. We deserve death and judgment, but instead, he gives us his son who died for the world. But so what? Well, the first thing I want to say is receive this gift today, if you haven't done so already. Received God's son. The gift I love to often get these days as an old man. I'm really not that old, but I think, thank you, is the gift of vouchers. You know what I'm talking about. I love vouchers. I love that kind of money. It's kind of like money, you know, but you're told where to shop. Vouchers are awesome because you kind of get to go and choose your own present, but it's kind of limited. You've got to go to Bunnings. That's mostly where I get them, or JB Hi-Fi. And I really like it. The problem is I sometimes forget that I have the vouchers. And so I leave them all year, and then eventually I find them later, and it's past its utilized date, and it's just a useless piece of worthless plastic. You see, a gift is only worth something if you actually receive it. And the gift of God is just like this. God offers you life for free. through the death and resurrection of Jesus. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our trespasses. But you actually got to claim it. You have to receive it for yourself. It's what the Bible calls faith, accepting this gift from God. And the tragic thing is, so many people are desperately trying to get God to accept them on all the things that they're doing, not realizing the amazing gift is right there next to them, the gift of eternal life from God. There are millions of people trying to get the understanding of Easter, and they completely miss the point. Now, wouldn't that be a tragedy? That your whole life, you left this gift unopened. You never received it. It would be a mistake to join us at Northmead Anglican every Christmas and Easter. You hear about this gift whenever we get up the front. You hear about this new life, but that's all you do. You hear about this gift twice a year, but you never accept it. You never let it shape your life. Well, I'm sorry, but you have not gotten this gift. So accept this gift from God and it will change you forever. The second thing to do with this gift is use it. See, my friend was once given this amazing gift to Pastor Maker from his wife, and he was so over the moon. He said he swore that every week he was going to make fresh pasta for the family. It was going to be delicious and amazing. He did it for 2 weeks, hung all the pasta in the racks. He hasn't used it for 6 years. It just sits in the box. Great gift. Unused. And we can do the same gift with the gift from God. He's given us new life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but we never use it. Why did God give us this gift? It's so that we can live your life for Him. Live your life His way, following Him, doing what He wants. This is the new life He has given you for free. So often people receive this new life, but they keep living their dead, broken one. So if you have received this gift from God, then use it. Don't leave it sitting in the box. Enjoy it and live the life God has given you. And so I actually want to now take the opportunity for you to receive this gift if you haven't from God. I'm going to pray a prayer that you can actually find in the handouts that you would have received. It's called the prayer of faith there. I'm going to pray this. If you want to make this your prayer, then pray it quietly in your own heart. Give your life to God. Receive this gift and then let us know so we can help you know how to use it. Let's pray. Dear God, I know that I'm not worthy to be accepted by you. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I am guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need forgiveness. Thank you for sending your Son to die for me, that I may be forgiven. Thank you that He rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me, that I may live with Jesus as my ruler. Amen. Look, if you have received that gift today for the first time, please let us know. We want to help you know how to use that gift and live it out. But right now, we are going to start, we're going to sing a great song called All Creatures of Our God and King, which looks forward to this triumphant day where Jesus will return and every knee will bow because He is Lord and Savior, risen from the dead. So let's stand and sing.